The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
All right, guys, Josh, what was your third segment idea?
Oh, I wanted to do something like Valentine's based, but like kind of also hinting at like how Valentine's is a bullshit holiday. So it'd be like, which superhero do we think would spend like a crazy amount of money on his significant other? And okay. I got an answer for that question.
I got one already too.
Well, Tyler, you and me same time. One, two, three. Tony Stark. Yeah, it's obviously Tony Stark.
It's Tony Stark.
Oh, you doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Shit, okay.
So that would
that's
really...
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
Although it could be funny, like that time that we all guessed the Punisher for...
Yeah. We can come up with something better than that. There's got to be somebody other than Tony Stark.
Oh, shit, we better come up with it quick. Here comes the intro music. Do do do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do.
Welcome back to Comics Brew, episode 245.
You did it.
Of course I did it. I know what every episode is.
You're like an expert, Tyrone, aren't you? Of course I am.
So yeah, we're back.
Nobody's seen Snatch?
I've seen Snatch,
not in a very long time.
Not in like 10 years. It's a good-ass movie, though.
It is.
If we take Snatch the colloquial way, it's funnier. I've seen Snatch, but not in a very long time.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. But anyways, I'm Tyler.
I'm Andrew. I'm Adam.
I'm Josh.
And we're drinking beers.
We are. I got some...
Not all of us.
What?
So not all of us.
Not all of us. I got some news from Lisa to get through before we get into our beers.
We're awesome. Don't worry, Lisa. We know. Thank you.
Yep.
Her chocolate stout is coming out to Georgetown Brewing this week.
Shit.
It's the Lisa's The Sun Is Trying to Kill Me Chocolate Stout. It comes out Wednesday, so this, like, 2 days from now.
In 2 days.
Yeah, and $1 of every growler sold goes to an autism charity. Besides that, Georgetown is still celebrating its 15th anniversary, so growlers of Manny's are $5 all month of February. And because it's... That's what they sold them for 15 years ago. So, yeah, that's a steal.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty damn good.
So go to the brewery. It's downtown, south downtown Seattle. Definitely check them out. And, hey, ask for Lisa and say, where's your chocolate stout? And that's what I got from Lisa.
Also get some Goose de Crème if they got it, because that shit's still fire.
Goose de Crème is the best. Yeah, I don't know if they have it on tap right now. But definitely some Bodhi Zafa. Ho, ho, Bodhi.
I like how you named your character in the new comic strip plays Bodhi Zafa.
Yeah, it's totally
Point
Break.
But then went with the Point Break, yeah. At first, when I heard you did Bodhi Zafa, I was like, oh, it's a beer thing. And then you named your brothers. I was like, oh, it's a Point Break thing.
Yeah, but then I also, I'm a brewer as well. And I even said self-named beer.
Yeah.
We also had some interaction on Twitter this week, which I want to highlight real quick. Eugene Tierney, our good friend from the Midwest, he said the perfect place to set up shop with that stolen Coors would be outside of high school.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, that man's a genius.
That's where I'm going to get my first million.
He said they'd even pay for an upcharge.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, they would.
Just drive around neighborhoods in the middle of the night looking for obvious parties.
Oh my God, a beer truck.
Yeah.
Like an ice cream truck.
But with sweet, sweet, delicious beer.
Oh, so good. Just roll up on frat house.
Like, so I was a little behind.
Tailgating? Oh, man. This beer's easy to move. I don't know what we were thinking last week.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was whining. I was away from Twitter for a little while, so I missed some of the comments. But he also said, like, 30 seconds into our Freeform episode, he's like, I feel lost because I haven't watched Dragon Ball since the early 2000s.
Don't worry. I was super lost, and I was here.
And he goes, hey, movie industry. little request. Could you guys please be a little less horrible and rapey?
So a fat chance of that one.
Yeah, but that was probably in response to something we brought up too. So probably. Yeah, thanks Eugene for listening. He asked if one of you guys wanted to be on his show for once, guest appearance. I'll let you guys decide that
probably
later.
Probably make something like that happen though. I see no reason not to.
What are you drinking, Tyler?
I'm drinking from Evil Twin Brewing Company. It's called Even More Jesus. It is, let's see here. It is a dark lager, I believe. No, it's a stout.
It's a dark lager.
It's 12% alcohol. Hella good. Really chocolatey. A little bit of coffee flavor.
Nice.
I didn't have time to
chill it.
Pour it into a glass like it's you're supposed to, but it is dark as fuck, and I love it.
Nice. I've got a beer from England, Samuel Smith's
India Ale. Hey, I almost grabbed one of those, too.
That's actually really good. Can I have another drink of that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's from the old brewery, Tadcaster. It is an India Ale, not an India Pale Ale, an India Ale.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
I do, too.
It's even got the Taj Mahal on the front.
I know. Noticed that.
I might need to come over and try that.
Yeah, you should bring your chocolatey over here on your trip over.
Yeah, bring the chocolatey. Make it chocolatier over
chocolate
here.
Chocolate for you to eat.
Is it poop?
It's my poops.
It's kind of disturbing because the beer is very dark and wet. So, like, isn't that good?
That's okay. I'm not a big Imperial Stout fan.
Why'd you have to say poopy and then hand me a dark beer?
Liquid poops. It's like when you got the squirtsies.
Yeah. It's like when you got... It tastes like bacon.
Pretty good.
Or smoke.
I like yours smoke better, Josh.
Yeah, one of the ingredients is fresh wood smoke.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Maybe it isn't, actually. I made that up.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally made that up. It's just smoky tasting.
Not bad. It's not good. It's not
bad. I like yours way better.
Cool.
Yeah, actually.
Better friends.
Oh, sweet. Just what I needed.
Whatever, fine.
Adam validated my opinion of myself.
Oh, man, you guys hear all those sirens outside the studio?
They come for you?
No, but someone fucked up hard.
Yeah, poor... It's a poor Monday morning at midnight for them. Yeah. Actually, I changed our release time to 1.
A.M.?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Which is now.
Right now.
Yeah, well, we're in the ghetto.
Live.
Yeah.
So, we got some random
I also got my Bloody Valentine singing backup from the Alesmith.
Oh, okay. That's pretty
before.
Good. Yeah, no, we've had that
What's
a lot.
What's it taste like? Blood?
We'll figure it out. Yeah, but it's like menstruation blood.
Oh, gross. Jesus.
Well, you took it there, and I just went a step further. At least it's not like birth blood.
Blood can come from a lot of places, like a good stabbing.
Is that a... Yeah. It's weird that you put good with stabbing.
A teenager
like,
looking
for
attention.
Don't you sometimes refer to like women you want a bone as I'd give her a good stabbing?
No. What?
You have totally said that before in my life.
I mean... I say a lot of things, all right?
I can't be held responsible for what I say.
Okay, Mr. President.
Exactly. So we got some news stuff. Something important is happening this week.
I mean, that's true around the world.
Yeah, it's true. Black Panther's coming out.
Black
Panther is coming out. And there's already, of course, a lot of reviews for it because, you know, the press gets access.
Screeners.
To it. Yeah,
it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for how long?
A good long while. Almost
two
a week.
3 weeks?
I mean, more than a week, I think. The reason I bring this up is because this is actually somehow newsworthy that Black Panther got knocked off its perch after getting its first bad review. And people are not happy about it at all. It was already a little weird because, like, you know, people on the internet will be people on the internet and said they were going to tank the review score. So it's already been a little bit weird. Now it seems like there's a first actually, you know, objective review. It's not done for a purpose. And it's just a 3 out of 5 because it doesn't have enough fighting sequence. It's, quote, a film is a stodgy tale of internecine feuding, just destructive feuding. But people are so pissed off.
That it's not 100% anymore. Yeah. I got a tweet here that says, the guy who gave hashtag Black Panther 3 out of 5 and destroyed its 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes waffles through his review ending stating that there's not enough beating up bad guys. This review lacks any sort of substance, and the writer doesn't actually make any worthwhile points. ...
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. There's also somebody saying this one negative reviewer of Black Panther gave it a rotten because T'Challa doesn't beat up enough, quote, bad guys. Really, my dude?
Yeah. Like, people...
I mean, I'm sure I haven't read the actual review because I kind of want to hold off on reading reviews for a bit. I imagine that any real reasons he have kind of going to spoil a little bit of stuff. But
when we all come together to smolder one guy who gave Black Panther a bad review.
It's just the funniest thing to me that everything that's surrounded this movie, like it I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm sure I'm going to really enjoy it. But it's like nobody's allowed to criticize it.
Well, no, because then you're just...
Then you're racist.
Then you're a racist.
Also, I do want to fucking point out, there's this big old hubbub like, oh man, it's the first superhero blockbuster movie with a black main actor. It's like, did you fucking watch Blade?
What about Spawn?
Blade and Blade 2, Spawn, those are
Blade
all...
Blade 3?
Blade 2 is the best one. And Blade 2 is awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know why...
It's back when Norman Reedus wasn't famous.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, that's right.
And Boondock Saints is another example of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing dope, like very, very manly, geeky roles forever. That's like his bread and butter.
Yeah, he's fucking rad. But yeah, so I don't know why there's this big old fucking hubbub about having the first black main superhero. We already had that. Well, this is the first like entirely black cast. So
not entirely.
Most. Morgan Freeman's in it.
Yeah, mostly. Who? Predominantly. How about that? Is that a better
word?
Did
you say Morgan Freeman or Martin Freeman?
Martin Freeman.
Okay.
I think he said Morgan Freeman and quickly corrected himself.
Well, play the tape back, motherfucker.
Do it.
Prove that I'm
right. You can literally do that.
I mean,
I can,
but that's just too much work.
Well, guess you just have to take me at my word.
So, what do you guys
think? We'll let the audience decide.
What do you guys think is going to be the final Rotten Tomatoes score?
It's still going to be in the upper 90s.
Yeah, let's say a week from today. What do you think it's going to be?
Oh, shit. I don't know. There's probably going to there's a lot of racists out there, man.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, too many babungos and click-clicks. Like, where's the fightings?
There is already a lot of that on the internet.
So, yeah, they're going to get a chance to do that. I don't know. Probably high 80s.
Which state's going to stay in the 90s?
I think the 90s as well. Either way, we'll probably have more to tell you about Black Panther next week because we're all going to go see it.
Together as friends.
Together as one big happy family.
Well, I'm not going now.
Oh, I smiled at him big, and he didn't like it.
Well, that's just Adam for you. So there's something we didn't talk about last week, which did we do? No, we did news last week. There's 2 weeks ago we did Freeform stuff. But we didn't talk about it last week, but we know Brian Michael Bendis going over to DC has finally announced what he is taking over.
Yeah, and, bend over, Superman fans.
Yeah, he is going to be taking over Superman. And I believe he's starting with Action Comics number 1000. Mm-hmm. Or he might be starting Action Comics 1001, but he's right there. And he'll also be doing
Man of Steel.
Six-issue and Superman. He's basically taken over the Superman line.
Yeah.
But yeah, Man of Steel is going to be a six-issue weekly series, which, you know, sounds kind of cool.
Some of the art, though. Ivan Reis, Doc Shaner, Ryan Sook, Kevin Maguire, Adam Hughes, and Jason Fabok.
Yeah, it's going to be a damn good-looking book.
Yeah, it's not an event, though, is it? Is it an event?
No. It's just a six-issue weekly that kind of goes over his history, sort of seems.
Mm-hmm. You can tell where Jason Fabok is on the left side there.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think that's his whole...
Oh, it is, isn't it? That's all him. Yeah.
So that's all going to be hitting in May. Well, Man of Steel number one is in May,
uh-huh.
And then in July we'll get Bendis' Superman number one and Action Comics 1001.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be on three books.
Yeah. Well, two, because the Man of Steel is going to start and go weekly.
Stop, yeah.
It's going to when it stops is when his two Superman books start. So he's kind of ramping up to taking over the main books. So, I don't know how I feel about it.
Right, we postulated earlier that he'd be great at like The Question.
Yeah.
Like a street level character that like any of the Bat family.
Yeah.
Like except for the man.
It's like they're just giving him the Sentry.
Yeah, that is a weird thing, isn't it? Didn't he make the Sentry?
No, he didn't make the Sentry, but he made the Sentry. He used him a lot.
Yeah.
He brought him into the new event. He basically made him Marvel Universe like main canon.
Mm-hmm.
Before that he was, you know, quote unquote canon, but he was used by, I believe, Peter David in two miniseries about the Sentry. And Bendis didn't really change anything about him at all. He just
used him more.
Just brought him into the universe, like no longer having his mind wiped and forgetting he uses entry kind of thing. But anyways. So yeah, Ben is going to be on Superman, and I don't know how I feel about that.
What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't read a Superman book in a very long time.
I think of the two, Action Comics will probably be better, because we did talk about how he's good at, you know, street level, kind of personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Superman is going to be an adventure series, while Action Comics will focus on Clark Kent's daily life.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah. That one might end up being a little bit better. Maybe he'll have a good cast.
Did he do any writing on Frontline?
I imagine he had to have, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'll look that up.
Maybe Siege Frontline?
Yeah, he also Secret Invasion and Civil War and...
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's
anyway.
A good question. Well, the last little bit
we'll
of stuff...
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt like we did our president.
I mean, I'm gonna read a couple issues of it, just because I know... I mean, I'm not a humongous fan of him nowadays, but I know he used to write amazing shit. Mm-hmm. And he still writes pretty, pretty good comics. So I'll check out his Superman. It is momentous.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely check out Action Comics number 1000.
How do you not? I'm actually probably gonna buy a physical copy of it.
We're all gonna fucking read that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's just no way that anybody who reads comics
wouldn't.
Yeah, there's no way.
I think I'll get my stepdad a copy too.
I mean, it's gonna be like the number one selling comic of 3 years either direction in time, I think. So last thing we gotta talk about is the Super Bowl was last week, so we did get some cool trailers. I don't actually know if either of these three trailers premiered during the Super Bowl, but it seems like that week in the year is.
Well, there was a new Infinity War trailer during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was a small TV spot. Not much super new stuff, but it's still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. But then
we got. Oh no, never mind.
That was last week.
Yep, never mind.
We got Jessica Jones season 2 trailer.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna keep up the same kind of stuff. The previous season did, just her, you know, being a detective, but also explore the little hints dropped towards the end of the last season about where she got her powers. Just kind of investigating that bit. And then...
Well,
Venom.
There's also, like, there's more to that Jessica Jones trailer. There's a hint that the Purple Man's back.
Well, we already knew he was back
in. Well, like, he was already on set, yeah, but, like, we don't know how he's going to work.
I didn't know he
was
on set already.
Yeah
they announced
it
a while
back. Oh, you guys
just
ruined some shit for me.
Oh, it's not our fault you don't pay attention to trailers.
We talked about it.
No,
yeah. We talked about David Tennant being back on the show when you were here.
Oh, I didn't remember.
Well, you won't remember
that's
this
not
then.
Our fault.
You won't remember this then. I think he's in her head, but oh well.
That's what I think, too. I think it's a trick.
Yep. Josh, what did you think about the Venom trailer?
It's all just based on Eddie Brock stuff. So, like, you get a little bit of, like, so obviously Venom's, I think the symbiote's an alien. It looks to be an alien.
I remember right, there was like a spaceship in one shot.
Mm-hmm. And there's a crashed area and stuff. I think that it's amazing that people are going to probably buy Tom Hardy's accent. Which is fine. I'm already okay with it.
Yeah, I really like Tom Hardy, he can talk in his normal accent and still be fine.
At the same time, he'll probably like drop into whatever he was in Inception, because that's like closer to his. Mm-hmm. But as long as he's not like Alfie... Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, yeah.
Yeah.
That, I think, was on purpose.
What did I think of it, though? I mean, as long as they're handling it with Lethal Protector in mind, it'll probably be good.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that it does seem to be an alien origin, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, I wish we had gotten a look, even
at
like a tease adventure.
Or his face.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah. Like an arm coming into frame.
Exactly.
Like with the claws.
Like even just a split second of it crawling over him or something.
Yeah, like oozing over him. But him like freaking out on the MRI table is pretty dope too.
I imagine that's probably the first time he changes.
You see the black move up his neck.
Oh, see, I didn't see that.
It's very, very light. I'll try and find it while we do this.
See, that's kind of exciting. That'll be fun. I'm still surprised this movie's getting made.
I'm excited, though.
I do remember... betting after Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out and they had all the
stuff there,
like all the plans. I remember saying these are not going to happen. Sinister Six definitely didn't happen.
Oh yeah,
I didn't think Venom was going to happen either, but here it is. So that's coming this year. It looks pretty good.
It does.
The last trailer we got this week is probably my favorite one of them. Deadpool, Numero Dos.
Yeah, so this one's just Meet Cable.
Yep.
I didn't think about it until the time, but I'm like, they're totally going to make fun of Thanos in this.
Oh, I bet they have to. They fucking have to.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin looks dope as Cable, though.
He fucking does.
Yeah. Get a little bit of action with him. Well, of course, the whole Deadpool thing. I do like the beginning when it's showing Cable, and then it shows him the with CG. His arm, and he's like, wait, hold on. Yeah. They need to fix the CG, and he just narrates little dolls, and then cuts back to it. But, dude, I like how they're making Cable look and sound.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You just see one shot of him using his powers. Like, he's just going to tear through people.
Someone said they thought they spotted somebody. Like, Shatterstar. There it is right there. See it? See it?
Oh, yeah.
It's totally crawling up his neck right there.
It almost just looks like the veins in his neck are getting darker.
Bulging. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing
Shatterstar,
but... I wouldn't doubt it. I need to go watch.
Like in the back of the plane when they're all getting ready to jump.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it at all. Oh, dude, which reminds me, have you seen
another X-Men Shatterstar?
People have been talking about a scene in the Infinity War Super Bowl trailer.
Which one?
Where they're walking down a hallway. Captain America is on the left. I believe Black Panther's on the right. But if you look behind Captain America, you see red and yellow. Somebody wearing red and yellow. And it doesn't look like Iron Man. People are saying that it is Captain Marvel.
She's not in it, though, or is she?
Supposedly, she's not. But, you know, who knows? Maybe she makes a cameo.
They kept Scarlet Witch and her brother a secret for quite a while in Avengers 2.
That's true.
No, they didn't. We always knew they were there. They kept Vision a secret.
That's what it was. It was Vision a secret.
They kept Vision a big secret.
Which was a nice twist. I loved that.
I was going to say, I knew there was somebody that kept a secret from that movie.
I mean, I think they maybe mentioned that he was in it, like, closer to release, but they didn't put any pictures out or anything.
Right, and it was really close to the chest until the movie was coming out.
Yeah, like, the first time I saw that Vision was in it was some leaked, like, toy material or something of Vision, like, phasing out of a wall, and it's just, like, art for a toy box. And that was, like, the first real proof and look we got at Vision. And that was maybe 2 weeks before the movie came out. So they kept
and even that
hidden.
Probably wasn't even supposed to come out.
Exactly. It wasn't supposed to. It was leaked. So, you know, Captain Marvel may or may not be in Infinity War, but if you Google that, you'll see it. I'm kind of convinced, just because I can't think of a character that has, if you look at it, it clearly looks like the costume that we saw on set, but in her modern colors. So it seems pretty, I'd say it's about a 50-50. But anyways, I'm going to go look and see if that Shatterstar look at or Shatterstar cameos in that Deadpool trailer. Oh shit, well Josh just looked it up while I was blabbering.
Well, we think it's Shatterstar.
It's Shatterstar. That head helmet thing, that is nobody wears that. You know who wears that? Like MMA fighters practicing. That's the closest real life thing. The only person who wears that ridiculous shit is Shatterstar.
So what is Shatterstar? Who?
He's another Rob
future mutant?
Rob Liefeld creation. Not a future mutant, I don't think. He's just sort of an edgy mutant. There's nothing special about him, really. I don't really give much of a shit
even
about
his
him.
Mutant powers, like, nothing special.
I don't even know what they are, to be honest. Maybe he is a future dude.
That's what I'm thinking, because he's got, like, a glowing eye like Cable does, and that only comes from the future.
No.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does, too.
A lot of people have glowing eyes that don't come from the future. And I was just going to say Nate Gray, but he comes from the future, so maybe not. I don't know.
The person behind Captain America in that is wearing black and has like orange or red hair.
Let me see.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll look at it.
Well, whatever. Either way.
You got more news or is that it?
No, sorry, that's it. I'm just still looking at that picture.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it for news.
There's a couple other things that happened real quick. We don't have to link them on the site, but I wanted to point them out if that's okay.
Sure.
There's the 10-year anniversary photo.
Marvel. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So
that's pretty cool.
Someone glaringly missing on that is Edward Norton.
Oh, of course.
Which kind of sucks.
Oh, because Ruffalo's there.
Yeah, because Ruffalo's there. But, I mean, other than that, I have nearly no qualms about that fucking awesome photo.
Yeah.
It is massive, and it's a legacy thing that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
And is it also not funny that, like, 3/4 of them were added in the last 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're still part of the legacy.
I know. Adam had a gripe that they made Stan Lee get all the way up at the top.
You gotta be on top, man. You stand the man.
He should have been up front.
Yeah, but at the same time, dude, he's probably was carried up there or some shit.
On a palanquin.
Right?
He took one step up onto a pallet, and then they forklift him up and then shuffled off of it.
Oh, he's not all the way at the top. He's right here.
No, he's on the second row. But yeah, that's my whole point. They didn't let him fucking stand on the ground.
I like that he's behind Faig.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's the creator of everything. Well, not everything there, but a vast majority of all of those characters.
Yeah.
He should be sitting in a chair in the front.
That's, like, in
front. That's a good one. Like, director chair in
front of, like, Robert Downey. Yeah.
Or, no, put him at his old writing desk. I think that'd be dope, too.
Just any chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's poor Stanhead.
And then I want to hit on something that that Bud Light owes Philadelphia.
What's that?
They owe every Philadelphia fan free beer for the Eagles win because of the dilly dilly shit.
What?
So Lane Johnson, who's a part of Bud Light, said, "Let's make a bet: win it all, and the party is on us. Deal." And that's the guy who is the CEO of. And he's from Philly, and he's like a big guy in Bud Light. And it turns out Bud Light has already decreed that it will make good on the bet. Hear ye, citizens of Philadelphia. The eagle hath flown, and your triumph in battle hath inspired the king to make good on his promise. During the great victory parade, Bud Light shall floweth in the taverns all along the parade trail. Joineth us and thy brave knight, Sir Lane Johnson, for the parade, tickered tapes, cheesesteaks, and the kingdom's favored lighteth lager. I thus decree that henceforth this parade shall be known as Philly Day, the King and Bud Light. So that will take place, I think, later this week, or it already took place.
Whenever they do the parade, the winner's parade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's usually the...
it's like the week after, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened after the Super Bowl, and I don't like Bud Light, but the Dilly Dilly and this Philly thing, it's
I think the Dilly
awesome.
Dilly thing is dumb.
Oh, come on, it's funny.
But I mean, Bud Light really does a lot of really cool stuff as a company. I will give them that. Like, the whole bottle of our canning water, fucking free beer along the parade route, like...
Yeah. Even though...
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Oh, and then we never talked about... Did we talk about it last week, how the Birthright movie's in development?
No.
No.
Because I was on news last week.
Yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah, the Skybound Entertainment announced that Birthright is in development, and the Skybound's one of the books, or is the publisher at Image that pushes that book.
Mm.
That's it, though. That's it for news.
That's it for
news.
Okay,
we're out of here. Later, everybody. Goodbye.
No, we got reviews. And,
that's right.
I'm going to give you guys a spoiler of next week. Unless something really, really fucking good comes out next week I'll be reviewing Wicked and the Divine. The latest issue was like twice the size of normal, entirely prose.
Tyler
Not
got
entirely.
A book instead of a comic book.
Yeah, and I kind of didn't have time to read that. So instead I'll be reviewing Ghost Shy the Deathless, number 2 of 6.
This one is all about Rasputin.
No.
No, that's the same thing.
No, it's not.
This one's about Lobster Johnson?
No, it's about Ghost Shy.
The Lobster Johnson?
Yeah, it's about Lobster Johnson. Nice. Lobster Johnson and his Lobster Buddies is the title inside the cover. But anyways... It's
that would be really funny if a publisher did that.
That would be fucking rad.
You can just like... Oh,
dude, what
they do it with covers all the time. Why not do it with the story?
No, the first week in April they should do it. Like, yeah. Every Superman book says a Superman cover, but it's Batman.
And then Batman's is the other way?
No, then Batman's is like
also
the Flash,
Batman.
The Flash.
This is also Batman.
Also
Batman. I like also Batman.
They just don't have the Superman book that year.
Because Batman has no sense of humor,
yeah.
Right? So
I'd be down with that. But anywho, they're written by Mike Mignola, drawn by Ben Stenbeck, and colored by Dave Stewart. This is more of like the first issue of... Ghost Shy telling his story to Hellboy while they're just chilling at the Drunken Limpet, a bar in hell. And, the last issue ended with the Baba Yaga telling him to basically find his purpose. He needs to take this golden thread and go make a circle and stand outside your camp with your most trusted followers. And he does that. And then a storm of crows come down and eat and kill everybody that wasn't in that circle. Which included most of his army that he's kind of worried some of them might betray him. But this golden thread, if you lay it down, will unravel itself, and he has to follow it. Follow it to kill some dragons. And so it's that story. And if anybody's read Darkness Calls, you're going to be very familiar with some of the characters introduced. Because Darkness...
If you haven't lost...
I mean, you'll get to know them in this, but it takes place in, like, the magical woods that Hellboy spends. It's the Baba Yaga's woods area, basically, that he spends a lot of time in Darkness
Calls. Do you get to see her chicken leg?
That was in the last issue.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You do get to see that. What? So this...
She has a house that lives on a chicken leg.
Oh, shit, dude. Yeah. So that's a thing in Rise of the Tomb Raider, because you're in Russia. And, like, you get under these hallucinogens, and you see this fucking chicken-legged house.
Oh, yeah, that's Baba Yaga's house.
That's dope. That's a common occurrence, because you fight Baba Yaga.
Is there supernatural shit in Tomb Raider?
Yeah, but it's a lot like Uncharted is. So there's, like... There tends to be supernatural shit, but it's also very heavily like drug induced sometimes.
Okay.
So like, well, even in the first one, there was like old runes and stuff that brought like the fucking
the shogun to life.
Yeah.
The Japanese warriors. Yeah, and that's a thing that like so in the first Uncharted, there's zombies.
Oh, okay.
Or like they're mutated men, but they're pretty much like crawling zombies.
Yeah.
That are fucking terrifying. By the way. And then, yeah, so in Tomb Raider, you have the shogun that come back. But you actually fight the Baba Yaga, and it's a witch. It's like an old lady.
Old witch lady?
But, yeah, she rides on this house that you think is induced on chicken legs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, that's cool. So we don't get to see the chicken leg house in this issue, unfortunately.
That is a bummer.
But her presence is felt because Kostya and his companions are on a quest to kill some dragons from her. They meet this protector of the forest named Leshy, who basically is like just bear man, and everything in the forest is under his protection. He showed up in Darkness Calls, and it's like, you can walk through his forest.
Sounds like Bjorn from The Hobbit.
Kind of, but if you eat anything other than nuts that fell on the ground, you are dead. You hurt anything. Like, one of the people with Kostya is a hunter,
yeah,
and it does not sit well with Leshy when he kind of breaks his rules.
Of course not.
But,
That's how fairy tales are made.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that I like best about this book is you get a lot more about Kostya and who he is and what his shit, like what his deal is while he's talking to Hellboy. And he and Hellboy have a lot in common. Like just these two dudes with kind of vague destinies, but they paint the similarities really hard when they arrive in the dragon's lair. And there is a clutch of dragon eggs, which I'm going to show you guys here.
Oh, hey, dope. Adam,
you recognize that shape?
Oh, shit.
Is that the Ode to Jihad?
Yeah. But see, it's not.
See, actually, I haven't read them, but you said it so often.
Yeah, it's just dragon eggs.
Yeah, but it's in the shape.
Yeah, it's in this green pool, and they're long, like, long rock-looking things, and they're arranged in the way that look like the Ode to Jihad. And it kind of paints Kostya as a Hellboy-ish kind of figure where he has to slay this monstrous thing and it's everybody around him that suffers, kind of.
Yeah.
So it's a neat, interesting little issue. But he also has a new companion whose story well, not a new companion. He gets information from a new character whose story parallels Kostya's own. Kostya was taken by a dragon in the woods. It was like a demon, and forced to, he would be allowed to live if he served him for 9 years. And he did. He served him for 9 years. He wasn't too curious. At the end of it, the demon, gave him a shirt that gave him his first invincibility. This companion he meets was caught in the woods by the dragons that Kostya is out to slay, but they let him live if he agreed to serve them for 9 years. And he agrees, but skips out after 4 days and becomes cursed. And he provides Kostya with info. So there's a lot of little parallels between Kostya and people he meets, and then Kostya and Hellboys. They're talking in this bar in hell. So far, it's a pretty damn good series. It's, of course, got great art. If you know Ben Stenbeck, he's done a lot of Hellboy stuff. A lot of Mike Mignola stuff. Dave Stewart's an awesome colorist, and of course...
Looks like a pretty thick book.
Yeah, it's pretty meaty. And, if you like the way Mike Mignola takes old school legends and spins them in, you know, interesting comic book stories, you'll love this miniseries. So check it out. It's good shit.
Well, clearly being a fan of The Witcher, I should probably read Hellboy.
Yeah, you probably should.
There's a lot of lore in Hellboy. It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. I imagine. And I know there is. I'm almost through. I picked up the other volumes of Invincible. I have all 25 volumes of Invincible.
You got everything?
Damn.
Yeah. I already
it's
had
25?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So it's 26 the last one?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm all caught up.
I might need to borrow those from you.
It's dope.
I want to get caught up.
It's almost the whole shelf, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. But I like it. I liked it a lot. I'm glad I gave it time, too, because where I left it, it was just, like, kind of simmering in the back of my head. Now I'm all caught up. Kind of like I did with Walking Dead.
Oh, dude, speaking of Walking Dead, it came out this week.
Okay.
And it was fucking rad.
Well, I want to talk to you guys about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's Swamp Thing. It's an 80-page giant issue.
The Winter Special.
It's the Swamp Thing Winter Special. The first story in it is by Tom King, and art is by Jason Fabok. The second story in it is actually written by Len Wein, and the art was done by Kelly Jones, who... Do you remember that 6-issue Swamp Thing that came out last year?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be an ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
The 7th issue is in this book.
Oh, really?
And it's wordless. But Len Wein wrote it, and the 7th issue is in the book. Kelly Jones finished the art on it and put it out in this special. And then following that is the script, the last script Len Wein wrote.
Oh.
And it's heartbreaking. It's immensely heartbreaking to watch and read. But the main story, the Tom King story, is fantastic. So it opens up with a radio station in Louisiana. We're back on WQRX, your home for the talk of the Saints. For those just turning in, we're breaking down Sunday's game, a 42-14 victory over the struggling Gotham Knights. Now, what I want to start with here is what the Knights QB Chris Campbell said about in the post game. And he goes on to say, I didn't have any excuse for doing so bad. I just...
Sucked it up.
The monster got me. He says, just the monster got me.
Yeah.
And so the scene transitions from fall and a leaf falling over the, like, with the WQRX interview over it to a whiteout, a full-on blizzard. And a figure starts to materialize out of the blizzard, and it's the Swamp Thing. It's the Swamp Thing, and he's cradling a small child. And it's the title page. It's the Talk of the Saints, written by Tom King, art and cover by Jason Fabok, and colored by Brad Anderson. Art and cover by Jason Fabok and colored by Brad Anderson. So Swamp Thing disappears into the distance as he's walking, cradling this small boy. And later on, the boy is he's like, I thought you were a monster. And Swamp Thing rips his own hand off and starts a fire for the boy. And he's like, I'm not. And the boy's like, yeah. Monsters are bad things who do bad things, and you're not that. He is. And Swamp Thing goes, who? And the little boy says, the snow monster. And Swamp Thing's like, I don't understand. And the boy goes, you said he did this to you. You said that you had to kill him and make the flowers and stuff come back. But you were too weak because of the cold, you said. And he goes, remember? And Swamp Thing's like, well, the green is dormant right now. It's winter. Mm-hmm. Like, can't get a hold of him. So this story it's fucking gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
It is stuff that you want to have, like, pinned up around your house. The story goes on, and the kid tells him, remember, you fought him today, and you were successful. And Swamp Thing's like, no, I don't remember that. I was like, were you safe? And the kid's like, yeah, I'm fine. They come across a bear, and Swamp Thing's like, I don't want you to get hurt, so I will speak to the bear. And Swamp Thing and the bear fight in the middle of the woods and stuff. And Swamp Thing's like, I'm going to have to be frank with you. I'm going to kill you. He doesn't say it that way. He says, I do not have any other way to return you to where you belong, so you must travel the longer path. When the snows melt, you will come to the green, and I will find you, and I will guide you. And he fucking rips the bear's... he stabs the bear up through the brain.
Oh, damn. And
kills it. So, you know, he uses that as a metaphor, like, I'll wait till your remains are a part of the earth, and then I will guide you back to where you belong.
Because
that, as a guardian of the green, he can do that. So the bear dies on top of him. anyway, it's just the story of Swamp Thing cradling this kid through the long winter, and eventually Swamp Thing starts to wither and die because his connection to the green is becoming so distant. And he becomes like this emaciated version of himself, really skinny, like bare, like, I don't know, bare, I would say bare bones, but like, you can see what I'm talking about here, Adam. Like, he's
normal size.
Yeah, he's not Swamp Thing anymore. He looks like a dude that's dying of, like, starvation. And Swamp Thing comes to a conclusion. He goes, I don't remember ever fighting the monster, but the kid's telling him I fight the monster every day. So Swamp Thing finally realizes that the kid's the monster.
Ah.
And he's standing there like weak as shit in front of this little boy. And he just says, I'm sorry. After years in the cold, you should be dead, and you're not. So the boy pleads with him. He's like, no, I'm not the monster. And Swamp Thing's like, man, I know how that feels. I'm not a monster either.
Oh,
and
man.
Then he fucking kills the kid, dude. It's so
That's
rough.
Brutal.
He's like, Swamp Thing's got tears coming in his eyes, and he's like, he kills the kid right there.
Damn.
It is so fucking rough, dude. I fell in love with this.
And it turns to snow.
And then the kid turns to snow and then eventually melts, and the snow melts away, and Swamp Thing reseeds himself into the woods and then comes back and then it ends with the last part of the WQRX interview. Monster had me. And then the guy was like, oh, yeah, what a great excuse. Instead of, like, taking, you know, credit for the loss or whatever, you're just like, oh, the monster had me. And Swamp Thing's, like, walking into the distance, like, sad. I don't know. It's a really, really fucking good story, and at the very end it says dedicated to Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson,
because
they both died last year. I highly recommend this. It's a bigger issue.
Pretty damn good.
It's a big, like I said, it's an 80 page book. So that's the first part, and then the second part is the last thing Len Wein ever wrote. If you have any love of Swamp Thing, you should definitely pick this shit up. It is Swamp Thing to a T. It hits on every note of what Swamp Thing is. He's a generous and kind guy. He knows that like there are some times that he has to kill to make sure to protect himself and the Green or anyone around him. He's a superhero at heart, but at the same time, like, they see him as a monster.
He's got a higher calling, though.
He does. I fucking love Swamp Thing. So,
no, he's rad as fuck.
I recommend this. What do you got, Adam?
So on my continued trek through Hellboy.
Yeah, you were on volume 3 last week.
I'm on volume 4 this week. Right Hand of Doom. It's
nice.
It's another, you know, shorter story collection. And what I found out actually before this episode is that's how most of it was published, is in a bunch of smaller 3-4 page stories. Sometimes you'll get long ones, sometimes you'll get one that's a whole trade, but for the most part it's done in smaller ones.
So you're telling me you read 4 pages of a comic?
No, I read the whole collection.
Gotcha. Sorry.
I read all of volume 4, and this one's kind of set up to go through his younger years. His teenage years.
When he's a monkey?
Yeah.
When he's a minky?
No, it starts in the first story is like the age of a 7-year-old. Like, I know
is
the it, age
is
really weird.
Is this the pancake story?
Yeah. And,
That's like two, that's like a page long.
It's two.
Two, that's right.
It's two pages. And it kind of goes through his life leading up to current, for lack of a better term, for Hellboy World. But, the first one is his dad's making him breakfast, and he's just like, I forget what it is that he keeps asking for.
I don't remember either, but his dad makes some pancakes.
But his dad makes some pancakes. He's like, I don't want to eat them. And he's throwing a big fit.
He's like, I don't want pancakes.
Yeah. And he finally tries them, and then it cuts to hell, and there's a bunch of demons and stuff, like, panicking and screaming in hell. And one of them goes, what's going on? He's like, he's tried the cakes of the pan. He's had the pancakes. We're all ruined.
Yeah, because he loves them. And all the demons are like, this is truly our darkest hour.
Yeah.
It's great.
I like that that they add, just like in Invincible, just like any story worth merit, there's a little moments of levity that you're like, yes, it's not a depressing story.
Speaking of Incredibles, I saw something on Reddit today. Maybe you guys.
I meant to say Invincible, sorry.
Oh, well, you said The Incredibles.
Yeah.
And I saw something about The Incredibles.
Let me try this.
Somebody freeze framed when they're going through the. Was it the Omnibot? Is that what it's called?
Well, depends.
The robot thing.
Here you go.
So there's a couple times they fight that thing.
Well, no, but they're going through the flashes of like the different phases, like designs of it. And then the heroes that it killed.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
One of the heroes has basically fart powers.
Really?
He can fly and like punch stuff with a gaseous expulsion.
I didn't see that.
it's just quick, right? Yeah, and it's on Reddit. It's pretty funny. But
okay.
Another little mini thing. But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's all right.
We both can't help but interrupt you when you're talking about Hellboy. Like, it happens religiously.
I love Hellboy.
Like, every time you talk about Hellboy.
It's okay.
We love you.
Hey, don't fucking do that. Sorry. It's not all right.
For those of you who couldn't see, I tickled his belly.
And that's my review. The end. That was the whole volume.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, there's some other really interesting stories in there. One of them is Hellboy gets put on loan to this doctor up in, like, the Swiss Alps or something like that, or in Norwegia.
In Norwegia.
Norway. Norwegia. Wow, Adam. And
it's like one of those fake countries in comic books.
Yeah. Good old. It's like Wakanda.
It's right next to Latveria.
Yeah.
Norwegia.
It's on the way to. What the fuck is Kazar's place?
The old world? No. The fuck.
Anyway.
The Savage Land.
Savage Land. Yeah.
So, anyways, he goes to Norwegia and.
I want to know if there's like a Norwegia board.
Did you see that thing? More interruption. You see a thing on Reddit about the best Ouija board ever?
Uh-uh.
And it's a Waluigi board. All like it's W A L Ouija Wal or Wal W A L U Ouija or something like that as the board. It has a picture of Waluigi and all the letters are. It's just W a bunch of times and A a bunch of times and H a bunch of times.
Wah!
Just wah. Anywho.
You're moving it. You're moving it.
Wah!
Sorry.
And,
So then there's yes or no on a Ouija board? Is it just like, wah?
I think
wah!
It was just wah.
I'm done. I'm done.
Now you know how I feel sometimes, Adam.
Yeah. Shit, I forgot what
Hellboy,
I was fucking...
Hellboy, Volume 4. Yeah. Really good. There's that little...
No, I got it, I got it.
You're talking about pancakes. Sorry.
No, past the pancakes. So, yeah, Hellboy is sent to this other research facility. He shows up and he's like, so who am I going to have to punch? What do I have to fight? And the entire time he's like, I know how this shit's going to turn out. And the guy's for like pages is explaining what he's trying to do. He's like, you're not going to have to fight anything. You're not going to have to fight anything. He's like, you're just really good at the paranormal. I just want you here. And he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll get ready to fight something. And the lore is that they have up there is this wild hunter that lost his head and is forced to constantly roam the lands and hunt.
For his head?
Yeah. Oh. And, I don't think it has to do with anything like the actual headless horseman. He just happens to be headless. And he's got these ravaged, dogs, just absolutely wild and feral. He's just like, so this hunter comes, and he's, Hellboy's hiding. And then he's talking to this doctor, and he's just like, tell you what, you want riches, I'm assuming. Doctor's like, yes. He's like, yeah, I can tell. Most men do. He's like, if you watch one of my dogs throughout the night, he's a little lame, and you survive the night, I'll give you what you want.
Oh, wait, shit, I remember this one. Yeah. Yep.
And then so the hunter disappears, and the dog goes to attack the guy, and he's just like, oh, God, Hellboy, save me. So Hellboy has to fight a fucking spirit dog all night. And then when he shows back up, Hellboy's hiding again. And he's just like, oh, you did it. Here's all you want. He just starts pouring gold coins out from his hands. The guy goes to catch one, and it burns through his hand. And he can't pick any of them up because they'll burn through him. And then as the dude's leaving, he goes, thanks for watching my dog, Hellboy. And because like the dude knew Hellboy was there the entire time. Like there's always these really little dark twists in
That's
all of this
awesome.
Lore.
Yeah,
that they,
I love it, dude. It's like
that's
I love
like,
the overall
again, it's
lore
like an Eastern European thing. It's always that way. Like, yeah, good things will happen, but it's gonna be. It's like a Rick Remender story. It's gonna be depressing as fuck.
Yeah. Have you gone to the story about the? It's like a Polynesian vampire. It's super crazy. They
like an island vampire.
Something like that. Maybe it's in Thailand. I don't know. It's some Asian area, and he goes to fight a vampire there. Their heads come off and pull out all their organs.
No.
And this is actually like a myth that's the vampire. It flies around as just a head with organs trailing behind it.
Jesus.
And then it fits back in its body when it...
Like the Borg Queen.
Kind of, yeah. It's fucking creepy, but I love those stories.
I did read the one of the 13 flying heads, though.
Oh, that one was good.
They're trying to eat him.
Yeah. That's a Japanese one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, but it was, that one was a vampire's. There is one that has to do a little bit with more of Hellboy's destiny to where he's sent to go kill this, like, dragon in the woods.
Yeah.
And
then his blood spills?
Yeah, and so the whole lore is that this dragon was terrorizing the woods and one just lone villager grabbed a spear or a pitchfork and went in to fight it. And while he was fighting this dragon, he was cut. And now wherever his blood fell, patches of these flowers would grow.
Lilies.
Lilies, yeah. So these people come to Hellboy, and they're like, oh, it's back. You got to go fight it. You got to go fight it for us. And they kind of tell him the story. So he goes to fight it, and the thing just fucks him up.
Fucks Hellboy up?
Fucks Hellboy up. And he's bleeding all over the place, and there's a statue of this villager in the woods.
Yeah, now he's a saint because of what he did.
And Hellboy is wrapped up because it's like a Japanese dragon where they're like long snakes.
Sure.
So he's wrapped up against like this statue. Yeah. And the thing is just trying to squeeze him, and the thing squeezes him so hard that the statue breaks. And then the sword that the statue was holding of this saint actually falls and kills the serpent again.
Nice.
So he never actually does it.
Hellboy doesn't?
Hellboy never does it. He just gets his ass kicked. But then as he's walking away, lilies are growing from his blood as well.
That's a thing that happens a lot.
Yeah.
It becomes one of those things that's not like a major, huge part of the story, but like he'll mention it in the future.
Oh, yeah,
or it'll happen again. It's just like a little thing. It just adds more to like this Hellboy mythos where he's supposed to end the world, but he doesn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, Hellboy is great. I'll continue to read it. I might try and bring another review this week just to get a break from Hellboy for me, but there will be a bunch more to come.
Read to transmit.
I was thinking more of a single issue or something.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Like, yeah, sure. I'll take a look at the list of what's coming out tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, but next
Wednesday.
Week. Yeah, no, 2 days way. From now. Yeah. And maybe I'll review something like that next Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Tyler, you're in charge of the third segment.
So, this is a bit off the cuff.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. When is Valentine's
Day? You gotta fucking make that the Happy Valentine's Day is the title.
Valentine's Day.
But so yeah, that's what Wednesday,
Thursday? Wednesday, 14th. Wednesday.
Yeah, Jesus. So that's coming out.
Jesus Christus. Oh hey, yeah, you said that in the chat.
Yeah.
After I like Adam goes, the middle finger wasn't for you. I just know that they could do that, and then I put the Jew star up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star of David.
And I said Jesus pleases.
I really like Jeezy Creasy.
Jeezy Creasy's good. Jizu is pretty good. I like that. But
Jeez
anywho.
LaRue from Pam and Jeez LaRue. Pam from Archer.
So this third segment idea came out of it being Valentine's Day. Right up.
Jeez LaRue, is it really?
Yeah, I know, right? It snuck up on me and then it was mentioned and that's how I thought of this. So we have to give each other, the other two members, blind Valentine's Day dates.
Yeah.
From comics.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
So, Adam, of the two of you, which do you think is the kinkier, you and Tyler?
Oh, I have
who's
no
kinkier?
Idea.
Tyler, who's kinkier, you or Adam?
I'll let you guess.
It's Tyler. Tyler's date is Bleeze.
Oh, right on, right on.
From the Red Lantern. She's incredibly hot, bone wings. You have to show her a good time. Otherwise, she'll destroy you. Like, blood... Plasma.
Wings are just extra handles.
But not fair only enough. like so I assume that you're paying for everything?
In the fantasy scenario of this thing, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a
blind date. Someone like Atrocitus set you up. Where do you take Bleeze?
Oh man, for Valentine's
Day.
We wouldn't know who it is ahead of time.
Sure.
So that's actually a harder question.
Yeah, I know. You have
I don't
plan
know where I would
date.
Take a blind Valentine's Day date.
Really?
The inn.
I mean, honestly, like that's my first thought. It's like I don't fucking know this person. It's a blind date. Let's just go get drunk. So a bar, I'll say, which might be fun.
Would you take her to your regular? You would take Bleeze to your regular.
No,
haunt?
I wouldn't take her to the regular bar. I would go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I would probably
somewhat
pick
familiar,
like,
but not like you take her to the Ram or something.
Nah, like
right?
You know what I would do if it was a blind date and I had infinite cash and I didn't care that much. I didn't want to go to a bar.
That's a lot of fucking
I'd
qualifiers.
Go to a, well, here's well because I don't know it's Bleeze, so I'm just trying to think in terms of like what's my restrictions here. I don't know the person. Infinite money, no money's no object, and I want to get drunk. Let's go to a dueling piano bar.
Oh, that's
you ever
good.
Been to one of those? They're rad as fuck.
Exactly, they're that's rad dope. As fuck. And there's places you can just chill, get your own little booth, and then there's entertainment, and it's fucking great.
Okay.
She probably wouldn't appreciate it, but whatever.
I have to apologize, but yours is Crib.
Who's
Crib? I don't know who Crib is.
Sinestra Corps member. She carries babies in a rib cage on her back.
Hot.
she would be into some shit.
Yeah, I think she would be into some shit.
Where do you take Crib and her babies on your blind date?
Abortion clinic.
Oh, my God.
They're already born.
Yeah, well, they're also demon babies that live in a rib cage on her back.
She kidnaps them from, like, people and puts them in her back.
Take her to CPS.
Yeah, the police.
Doesn't matter where that date was supposed to start. It ends at CPS in the police station.
Yeah. I mean, we probably started like the Sizzler, but
and then you like you find out that you're catfishing Crib.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, we gotta handle this right now. What are you doing over there? Nothing. I'm just googling CPS locations. Yeah, she steals alien babies and
puts them. I remember her now. Yeah,
and then she has nipples in her rib cage that like feed the babies her.
Her milk.
Her juices, her milk. Ooh, that's and then they become her constructs. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely going to end the day at the police station.
Or like CDC or some shit. Yeah. Like some kind of animal control.
Fucking closest military base. I don't know.
Where are we going, Lewis McCord?
Yeah. And then I would just smash through the gate so I'd get everybody's attention
right,
on that
right
base.
Away.
Yeah.
Jump out of the car, hands like already down. Mm-hmm. You're like, not me pointing that way. Like that one. Cool. I'm glad I got to go first.
Yeah. I could go next.
Okay.
If you say the blob for one of mine,
no,
I'm gonna smack.
I won't. Josh, I would, if I got the ability to set you up with a rando blind date. Now, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, I assumed you guys were hetero.
Yeah. That wasn't going to be my assumption.
My assumption
was, yeah. This person and their special abilities or, let's say, companions would come along because it's part of their character. You ever read Runaways?
Nope.
Well, one of the girls has a velociraptor. So I would set you up with her because she's a decent girl.
Can we stay out of the long grass?
Well, hopefully. That's up to you once it starts. Okay.
Depends on if she shaves or not.
Jesus Christ. Now, I would do this. And her name's Gertrude. She has a raptor named Old Lace.
Down. I know. I like a unique named person.
Yeah, and she's kind of a nerdy girl. I think that'd be a decent match. But also, I would like to know afterwards your experience with having a velociraptor there the whole time.
It'd be like a weird chaperone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't want to get, like, a steak that's too well done, because then there's the judgment.
Yeah.
But then also, you don't want to make a move on her, because then there's the teeth.
There's a raptor.
But you can't, like, you have to hold your ground somehow, so it'd have to be through witticisms, right? Because raptor has no language capabilities.
I think there'd be a fun story after that, and having a fun story for me to hear afterwards is my motivation for both of these.
I went on a date. She brought a fucking raptor. Like a bird? No, dinosaur.
Like a literal goddamn dinosaur.
Actual dinosaur.
Well, how'd you get over it? I brought some treats.
Yeah, otherwise known as live mice.
Yeah.
Now,
I had the clicker thing from Jurassic World. It's just blue. Sorry.
Yes, I can't wait for Jurassic World 2. Yours also comes from a place of wanting to hear a funny story afterwards. So imagine this. You set up you pick the location for a blind date. You don't know who it is.
Okay.
And suddenly a girl in a wheelchair comes in the restaurant.
Oracle?
I would do Oracle just because I would want to hear the story afterwards where you come home and you're like, dude, she came in a wheelchair and I didn't think it was her at first. Like, you wouldn't know until she rolls through. But knowing that.
I mean, I would date a girl in a wheelchair.
How... Where would you set that up?
Yeah, how would I what?
Where would you have set up the date?
Somewhere with wheelchair access.
I know, so I'm trying to think of places.
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm thinking
stairs.
I'm just like
lots of stairs.
No, just standard first date places. Ice skating. Valentine's Day in the winter. I'm gonna take her ice skating.
Fucking high five, bro. That's awesome.
There we go. There'd be a lot of a fun story
you
to come out of that one.
You got something to hang on to so you don't fall.
Yeah.
You've got a built-in key to success.
I'll push her around on the ice. It'll be romantic.
All right. Right on.
She
I
probably
like
has
it.
Bat
I'll get
blades.
A little plastic sled with a rope tied to it and just drag her behind me.
Jesus Christ.
Give her a whip.
No? Well, later. Not at the ice rink.
Jesus.
So... what if she's incapable of feeling anything below the waist?
Well, you could be incapable of feeling it, but everything actually still functions.
Exactly.
Sure. Would she even, like, but it would still be, like, kind of a, okay, do it, instead of, like, something she's into.
I mean,
she would probably still know when she fucking came. She'd probably be like, "Hey, that was rad." Yeah,
they still. It's weird. All that is on a different
brain.
No, yeah, but it's like the nerves work differently. It doesn't come from like your spinal cord necessarily. I mean, it does, but it's different.
It has to, yeah.
It's different.
Like it literally all does.
You can be paralyzed from like the middle of your chest down, and your dick still works.
Yeah,
it's
same thing for lady bits.
Yeah, you can still everything still works, and like it. I think I've read that. There have been people who can feel it and people who can't, but it still works both times. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
So it works.
Plus anal.
Jesus.
You have to deal with the fact that she can't use her knees.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no, like...
Good thing there are things that have 90-degree angles that she can be leaning against.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Adam.
Yeah, no, like, so what you just told me, like otherwise... The counter. Otherwise, what you told me is that you're going to do a lot of prone boning.
Prone bone.
Well, the problem is I will always have to be on top.
I guess that's your problem.
I assume somewhere in the watchtower, where's Oracle, the clock tower?
Yeah.
She has a harness.
I'm sure. Sweet swing of some kind.
It's bungeed.
Yeah, perfect.
So she can bounce. All right, this is getting weird. Your turn.
All right. So, Tyler?
Adam.
I'm giving you Squirrel Girl.
Okay.
Only because I think you might actually be into furries.
I can tell you I'm not.
I almost gave him Cheetah.
Cheetah would have been good too. I just like the idea of a giant fur tail coming out of the back of her.
I will say.
Would it flick back as you push forward? The tail
might be fun. It depends on how sensitive it is.
Hang on. We're assuming a lot. Squirrel Girl is a wholesome woman.
She is.
She would not fuck on the first date.
That's true.
She could be freak.
That's true.
Now, is this Squirrel Girl in her 30s where the squirrel tail woman. Is not? This woman has no longer squirrel boobs. She has squirrel breasts.
Oh my God. Yeah. I might be able to have fun with Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
I think.
What would you do? What's your?
You could take her to a dog park.
It doesn't matter where it started. It doesn't matter at all. I'd be like, oh fuck. Let's go to a park. Yeah. Let's go hang out at a park.
Jesus.
Couldn't take her to a dog park though. She'd get chased by all of them.
Get some picnic shit on the way, and the squirrels can help set it up. I'd be Disney and shit. I'd be down. I think I could get along with Squirrel Girl.
Would you make a lot? I know you. You would make a ton of like. Something would happen, and you'd be like, that's nuts. Like, you would make 100%. A ton of puns like that.
I would try to probably, like, not... I wouldn't, like, drop them in, like, a way, you know, where, like...
Like, hey, baby, I don't have any cash. You got any? Like, cashew?
Jesus Christ. It'd be like that, where I don't pause to make sure I highlight the pun, but they'd be there constantly.
Like, all the time.
Yeah, and it would either end well or really, really bad. She would hate me.
You know, according to this sign.
That was acorn.
I'll have acorn on the cob, please.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
So, for you, I was thinking about giving you Iris White.
Iris West?
Iris West. No,
Iris West.
Iris West.
Barry's wife?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Iris West. I don't know where I got Iris White from.
Barry White, I think.
I might have been. I mean,
because in the show she's black, and I think that's where your head went.
I don't think it was a racist thing. I think it was Adam can't remember names very well thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But I wanted to get it on.
Because
Iris West,
I would only because of the reaction that you would have when she showed up.
I would freak the fuck out if it was,
and
really
then realize
like
that Barry was having relationship problems.
Yeah, I'm not a homewrecker. Man, you just set me up for a talk. That's all you set me up for.
Yeah.
You're a dick. She's probably dope to talk to, though, so I guess it'd be a wash.
So you're, yeah, that's it. That would be yours.
So what was yours for me?
I gave you Gertrude from The Runaways.
That's right. So I get a raptor woman... Or a good talk.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Or one of your favorite heroes' exes.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Most likely recent ex.
I'm like a rebound guy.
Yeah, I got like the most wholesome character in comics and like the most fetishy.
Yeah.
Like I got both ends of the spectrum from you guys.
You got Crib.
Yeah,
and Tyler gave you
Oracle.
Oracle.
I'd wifey Oracle for sure.
Yeah. I almost called this one, like, I almost thought we should do a fuck, marry, kill for this one.
That would have been good.
We could do that next week.
It's a more romantic episode.
Because next week will be after Valentine's Day, which means that...
the honeymoon's over.
Yeah, we don't have to be sweet anymore.
Here's your damn flowers.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I wine and dined you last night. It is now the morning of the 15th.
Front bone!
You need to get the fuck out.
Jesus Christ.
Well...
And ladies, this is why
I'm single. I think that's it for us this week. We're horrible people. And I don't know what else to say.
We're aware. So yeah, we got Constant Plays again this week. We dive into what appears to be a celestial house or a spiritually induced house in Constant Plays. We find out that sunlight can be spelled several different ways.
Hustling.
And then... yeah, be sure to check out Tyler on next week's episode of Comics Brew.
Yeah. Always check it out.